Have you been told you don't fit in? The way you live isn't right? You don't look the right way? You don't act the right way? You don't love the right people? You don't believe the right things? Do you feel the pull of spirituality deep within you and long for a place where you can express it, but keep running into places that want to put you into a box, turn you into another member of their cookie-cutter community where everybody looks the same, everybody lives the same, everybody talks the same, everybody sits in neat little rows, and nobody asks any questions? Welcome. You found a home, because this is the Christ and Light Podcast. And at Christ and Light, we celebrate your diversity. We understand the truth that everybody and everything was created wholly good, absolutely complete and loved, and that each one of us is a bearer of God. Join us now as we discuss the implications of that in our lives, as we explore ways to live out the truth that all of us are Christ events, called to shine forth in the world.
A reading from the book of Ecclesiasticus. He seeks out the wisdom of all the ancients and is concerned with prophecies. He preserves the sayings of the famous and penetrates the subtleties of parables. He seeks out the hidden meaning of proverbs and is at home with the obscurities of parables. He serves among the great and appears before rulers. He travels in foreign lands and learns what is good and evil in the human lot. He sets his heart to rise early to seek the Lord who made him and to petition the Most High. He opens his mouth in prayer and asks pardon for his sins. If the great Lord is willing, he will be filled with the spirit of understanding. He will pour forth words of wisdom of his own and give thanks to the Lord in prayer. The Lord will direct his counsel and knowledge as he meditates on his mysteries. He will show the wisdom of what he has learned and will glory in the law of the Lord's covenant. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in Psalm 84. Our God, all-powerful, your temple is so lovely. Deep in my heart, I long for your temple. And with all that I am, I sing joyful songs to you. Our God, all-powerful, my sovereign and my God, sparrows find a home near your altars. Swallows build nests there to raise their young. You bless everyone who lives in your house, and they sing your praises. You bless all who depend on you for their strength, and all who deeply desire to visit your temple. When they reach dry valley, springs start flowing, and the autumn rain fills with pools of water. Your people grow stronger, and you, the God of gods, will be seen in Zion. O God, all-powerful, the God of Jacob, please answer my prayers. You are the shield that protects your people, and I am your chosen one. Won't you smile on me? One day in your temple is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather serve in your house than live in the homes of the wicked, our beloved and our God. You are like the sun and also like a shield. You treat us with kindness and with honor. You never deny any good thing to those who live right. O God, all-powerful, you bless everyone who trusts you. A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. And the 12 called together the whole community of the disciples and said, "It is not right that we should neglect the word of God in order to wait on tables. Therefore, friends, select from among you yourselves 7 men of good standing, full of the Spirit and of wisdom, whom we may appoint to this task, while we, for our part, will devote ourselves to prayer and to serving the word." What they said pleased the whole community, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, together with Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch. They had these men stand before the apostles, who prayed and laid their hands on them. The word of God continued to spread. The numbers of the disciples increased greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests became obedient to the faith. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
A dispute arose among them as to which one of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest, and the leader like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
I had to go get a bottle of water because somebody went a little crazy with the incense. I don't know who. Which is somehow a metaphor for my life, but I don't particularly want to explore that at this moment. I confess that I've always been bothered by that reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Because it sounds very much like the priests were saying they were far too busy doing holy and important things to condescend to such mundane tasks as, meeting the needs of people. And I understood it that way until last Sunday. I've probably been coming to this understanding for some time. But last Sunday, I had the opportunity to visit Unitarian Universalist Church West and see our Bishop Montoya preach, and had a wonderful time in chairs that, despite my somewhat decrepit condition, were actually quite comfortable. And I thought, I need to get some of these tacky stacking chairs for the house. And then I drove somewhere and did a couple things, and I drove to Chicago, and it was raining. And I didn't realize it, but my back started to tighten up. And I went to the Church of Jesus Christ Reconciler, where our own Mother Judy Dutcher serves as the assistant rector, and was preaching that day. And they're a sort of higher church group of folks, and we would relate to them, and they bow and we bow. And what made me really think of it this morning was when the name of Jesus came and Jeffrey bowed, I bowed in the chair a little bit, and I said, gee, I could do that, because last Sunday when I was in Chicago and it came to the name of Jesus and I went to bow, nothing moved. And I said, oh dear, my head went, but that was about it. And so maybe there's some truth to the fact that it wasn't so much that the apostles didn't want to continue to meet the daily needs of the people, but that they were recognizing that over time, at least, in part, they would lose that ability. And it became necessary to get together a group of people who would be able to do those tasks when, for whatever reason, whether it was their untimely death or physical decrepitness or something else, they would be unable to do it. In other words, they saw the importance, on the one hand, of the work that was to be done. They saw their own limitations, on the other hand, which, whether it was a matter of scheduling problems or physical ability or just more work to be done than would go around, they would not so much be able to do it. And they saw my late grandmother's late neighbor, Margaret Callan. Margaret Callan was a good and faithful Roman Catholic. She was a single woman all her life, a spinster woman. And she lived in the ranch house next door to my grandmother's house. And in 1998, when I had occasion to go to the Holy Land, I bought a rosary in Jerusalem and brought it back for Margaret. And Margaret, by this time, was 83. And she said, "You know, I'm not able to get out as much as I want to. But what I am able to do is pray my rosary. And I find the older I get, the more my spirituality expresses itself in praying through others." And I mention that because in ordaining John, we bring into this church our first, not purely, but our first dedicated contemplative vocation. And I think it represents an important transition in the life of this church for this reason. The United Methodist Church, as you may have heard, met in General Conference last week, and people working for LGBT and full inclusion in the Methodist Church were optimistic. I didn't know enough to have an opinion, but I'm on a mailing list where I found out that they were optimistic. And unfortunately, that optimism was not well placed. And while I don't understand all the ins and outs of Methodist polities and their semi-bishops, who share power with district superintendents, and I don't really know what they do, but I know that it's very convoluted, one of the bishops who was chairing the meeting turned out all the lights in the hall where the conference was going on, because LGBT folk and their advocates and their allies had lined what they called the bar, which I initially thought was a tavern. And I thought, you know, wouldn't it be nice to have beverages in RGA? But anyway, they lined the bar, and they turned out the lights in the convention hall for security and safety reasons. Exactly. I don't know about you, but when I'm in large, crowded rooms full of people and I'm concerned about their safety, I am not compelled to turn out all the lights. And what that reflects is what happens with institution. Now, I'm also reading a book by Diana Butler Bass about Christianity after religion. And while I'm not quite halfway done, and I'm not quite agreeing with everything she says, which is okay. She has the right to be wrong. She talks about how the American public truly is looking less for religion and more for spirituality. And the reason that they're doing it, and I'm paraphrasing her broadly, is because they have found institutions to be unresponsive to their needs. And I'm going to suggest that, like the United Methodist Church, the reason that institutions are less than responsive for people's needs are two. First and foremost, they exist primarily to perpetuate themselves. And they do that via modeling corporate America, at least in the West. And so what matters is the number of customers you pull in. And you make decisions based on whether it will cost you customers or whether it will gain you customers. And the newest market is the developing world. So rather than respond from a place of authentic spirituality and even being biblically informed, they respond from a corporate model. And it's common and it's widespread, but I believe it's defective. And the second lesson that we learn, or the second reason I believe that Americans are rejecting institutional religion, is that institutions do not exactly turn on a dime. it takes a long time to work for change in institution. And whether we're talking about the United Methodist Church and their current struggle over LGBT inclusion, or whether we're talking about the Roman Catholic Church and them trying to put nuns back into a box, institutions do not respond and react to the needs of the people very quickly. It's not their nature. Robert's Rules of Order do not make for quick change. And so getting back to that lesson from Acts, what I'd like to say is that maybe one of the reasons the priests saw the needs, and they weren't priests exactly, but were the apostles who were serving that function of priests, even though they were technically bishops, saw the need for a deacon and deacons, was because they felt that need to respond to the needs of the people and still had the ability to do it quickly, but recognized they were losing that. Which brings me to the most important piece of advice, the most important statement about the diaconate I ever heard. And it was from the then Episcopal Bishop of North Dakota, which must be a lot like being Bishop of Purgatory, only cold. I can't imagine that diocese. And I don't honestly remember his name. It was in the mid-90s. And he said, "You never, ever stop being a deacon." And in that context, I see the value of what the apostles said to those first deacons, that they were in fact taking on that responsibility themselves, as well as delegating to some others. That while we have the temptation to want to build empire, even I at moments have the temptation to want to build empire. And I'm not saying I'm a paragon of virtue on that count. But even I, who am dedicated to not doing it, find myself at times tempted to do it. If we can recall that, we all are deacons. If we can recall that we all are called to serve, that we all are called to meet needs, and I would suggest, and this church suggests, through requiring all of our clergy, including our bishops, to have active vital ministries in their communities, that we both need to hold that image and that notion of always being a deacon primary, and we do it. And it's one of the things that I'm most proud of about how this church has developed. That we are not perfect, but we've done our best to do the things that matter, that impact people's lives. And particularly in the context of a contemplative vocation, we remain connected to the spirituality that should be driving our decisions instead of the corporate model, which suggests that it's about other things. When God remains central, you can tell it in a group, no matter how they're dressed, no matter where you encounter them, or no matter the context in which you see them. When the vision changes, that becomes equally apparent. And so I'm particularly pleased today, because of my own contemplative bent, which may be one of the few things that bends on me in just a few more years, to bring in our first contemplative vocation. And to be able to say to people in a dedicated way, what transforms your life is not just belief, but also practice. Amen.
We thank you for joining us for this Christ in Light program. We're glad you decided to join us. Christ in Light offers a variety of programming and teachings available throughout the week. The Christ in Light podcast uploads weekly, usually on Monday mornings, and discusses a contemporary spiritual issue or teaching from a Christ in Light perspective. Christ in Light has a program on Blog Talk Radio on Wednesday mornings and Sunday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central, 9 Mountain, and 8 Pacific. On Wednesdays, our program looks at spiritual issues with a sense of humor, even when those issues are extremely serious. On Sunday mornings, we offer a weekly Sunday morning message based on a Christ in Light interpretation of the Revised Common Lectionary Scripture readings for that day. All of our internet programming is available at no cost to you. To learn more, visit our ChristInLight.org website or access the podcast and the Blog Talk radio program at no charge to you on iTunes. We also write an engaged spirituality blog, which is available on the ChristInLight.org website. We blog Monday through Friday, and also on each morning, we upload a spiritual teaching for the day, 7 days a week. There is a Christ in Light gathering in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. To learn more about that gathering, visit the Christ in Light website. This program is copyright 2011 and 2012 by the Ecumenical Franciscans of the Renewal. All rights are reserved. For permission to reprint or use audio from this program, please write ChristInLight@gmail.com. We thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Bishop Craig Berglund. I wish you God's rich blessings. Namaste.